You're listening to the Renzo Republic.
Folks, welcome to the first special episode of season two. I know you love these. I know you do. I know you do. Because I get little messages here and there saying, I'm so sick of all the commercials. It is a podcast. Blah, 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 and all this other complaining. But hey, you know, you like the show being free. Well, guess what? Nothing's free. Everything has a cost. You want to prevent producer Ryan from starting a union of one? Yeah, you stick with the commercials. But every once in a while, I go ahead and throw you a bone. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in to this special commercial-free episode. For those of you that know me, you know, for a while, I've got kind of a nerd thing going on. I'm a giant comic book nerd. And apart from politics, I mean, comic books are really my life. If I had to, I'd probably have my mail sent to the local comic book store. But what does that have to do with tonight? Well, if you read the title, you're already ahead of the game. If not, let me go ahead and introduce you to our special guest. He's the creator of the Volunteerist comic series. It's an awesome series that takes, you know, the fun and spectacular adventures of superheroes in a way that actually tackles current events and libertarian and volunteerist principles. Ladies and gentlemen, Jamie Sherman, how are you doing, man?
Good. How are you doing?
Man, I am awesome to have you on. I checked out the free first issue you guys have, the e-copy online, and I am hooked. As soon as I get paid this week, I'm going to go ahead and buy some hard copies. But, man, go ahead and tell us, what started this whole thing? Tell us how you went from just thinking about starting a comic to starting one and why you chose this topic of all things. Because this isn't something that a lot of people in the mainstream typically would think of when they're going out and grabbing a comic. But for guys like us, I mean, this just makes perfect sense.
Oh, of course. Yeah, I actually started thinking about wanting to create some type of universe that involved liberty and, you know, superheroes and things like that. Because just like you, I'm also big nerd, always like Star Wars and DC Comics and Godzilla and other things. So I was prototyping some things, and I was thinking about a film or something of that nature, but I just realized that doing that would just be very expensive, you know, pretty impossible to do well for this, you know, a tight budget. And I was thinking, okay, well, what could I do that is reasonable that I could make that has a solid outcome? You know, it's kind of comparable to other mainstream forms of that content. And so it came to me that, you know, maybe doing a comic book would make sense. And so I took some of the film scripts that I was working on and translated it into comic format. And I just ran with it back around 2012 because the crowdsource fundraising scene was, you know, just starting to get fresh. And so I just was like, okay, let me go ahead and see what happens. And I kind of took it from there.
That is awesome. For those of you listening that did not do your homework in advance and go ahead and check out our guest, dude, would you mind kind of giving them a little backstory to the series, kind of let them know about the characters and what's going on?
Oh, of course. So the story is centered around a guy named Jack Lloyd. And Jack Lloyd is a recent college graduate who ends up going back home to help out with this family because his dad's getting a hip replacement surgery. And the story kind of revolves around him attaining supernatural powers, not necessarily supernatural, but just superhuman powers, although seemingly supernatural. But these powers that he gets attract the government to him because the government is trying to enslave humanity once and for all. And so the government is looking to follow up with people who have got these powers after a certain cosmic event. But Jack does not want to join the government's plans because Jack has a libertarian streak, especially impressioned upon him by his family, who are organic farmers, and through the story, resist the government trying to take their land through eminent domain and use it for other purposes. So there's a bit here of, you know, background dealing with, you know, nature of government and government policy and how that affects people, you know, in the real world. There's also a little bit of the, you know, the fiction side as far as the powers go and things like that. So it kind of revolves around him and his journey in resisting the government as the government's trying to enslave humanity once for all.
That is awesome. You know, what I love about this series is, you know, I became a libertarian by reading Ayn Rand because, you know, I love the premise of the story. I think I fell in love with the idea of the story before I actually read it, but it had that artistic flair to it. And it doesn't seem like we have a lot of libertarian figures in pop culture other than maybe like Ron Swanson and another couple here and there. And that's why your series really jumps out to me because, you know, it is openly a libertarian themed comic. But at the same time, you're talking about these principles through something which is extremely popular, which is something that anyone and everyone can love. And it's superheroes. Because, I mean, you and I were probably reading comic books before Robert Downey Jr. made them cool. And now every hot chick we see is wearing a Iron Man t-shirt or something.
Oh, yeah.
It's insane. But why superheroes?
Well, there's a lot of background to that. I've always liked the superhero genre personally. But to an extent, there is a thematic element with superheroes and the powers that are involved. As a driving force for thinking about ethics. And a part of the powers that they attain brings about the question of how far are you willing to go in terms of defense for others against the government and, you know, defense for oneself. Because very often I think when we think about self-defense and consent and dealing with others and problems, there's a lot of tension around how much force is too much? What is, you know, escalating violence? You know, how do you deal with the government in a way that doesn't create more violence and, you know, doesn't have violence begetting violence? And so the idea of having superpowers is to kind of bring about that question of what do you do when you have great power to resist the government? And I think that many people often balk at going down that thought process. Even just recently, there was a person who was open carrying in a police station and was, you know, taken up by the officers, you know, threatened with his life just because he had an AR-15 slung around his back. He wasn't, you know, threatening the officers or anything like that. He was just exercising his ability and, you know, wasn't illegal by any measure in the state he was in to be able to openly carry as he was going to file a police complaint. And so very often, you know, these kinds of questions are very touchy for people to deal with, especially in a rational way. A lot of people will say, oh, how dare you, you know, show that kind of force, or how dare you put police in a situation where, you know, they're in fear for their lives. But, you know, when you have it with a fictional storyline element like voluntarist here, and, you know, superpowers, that allows people to be less, you know, to use a popular term right now, triggered, and to be able to open themselves to thinking about the nature of self-defense, the nature of force, especially as the government, especially as the government is really escalating its own forms of force and controlling people.
Yeah, exactly. And what I love about comic books was they've always been traditionally a very countercultural mechanism. And even before I really became, you know, kind of a political dude looking into these philosophical inquiries, I mean, superheroes are the best mechanism for doing this because they're so timeless and they speak, you know, to everyone, regardless of nationality or culture or language. Because, I mean, you know, one of the things that really shocked me was that I didn't understand that Bryan Singer was at the time, and this wasn't really caked on, but this was a severe element. But Bryan Singer in the X-Men films was trying to use the original X-Men trilogy to talk about race issues, to talk about, you know, LGBTQ issues. And, you know, Spider-Man was all about what do I have an obligation to serve society? And then you have like Iron Man. I think Iron Man 2 is the most like Ayn Rand's movie of all the superhero films came out because the government was essentially trying to steal Tony Stark's stuff. And then you have the war issue with Captain America and his entire saga. And I mean, this is such a rich and powerful way to convey all those things that you mentioned in a way which anyone can pick up and read. So I'm just curious, what were some of your inspirations for this story? I mean, was it real events? Was it, you know, other comics and stories that kind of influenced the way you thought? What were kind of the things that helped inspire, you know, you going from, you know, start to finish with your story?
I wouldn't say so much I was inspired by any particular story as much as just felt like most every story out there didn't really put government in its proper light. And that includes even some more anarchist-tinged stories like V for Vendetta or Watchmen by Alan Moore. It's just very rare that you have any type of meaningful critique about government from a philosophical perspective. There really isn't any material out there that shows government as a fundamental evil, not a necessary evil, not something that has a few bad apples, but as something that is itself an unethical thing. Pretty much every story ultimately will somehow concede that government is some sort of, you know, necessary thing, or that it's just people who are trying to do the best for society. And since there wasn't anything out there that actually, you know, made government the forefront of the unethical, I just said, you know, this can't stand anymore. This really can't stand that, you know, nobody out there is ever going to touch on this issue. And I understand why, because it's not mainstream enough for most people, you know, in major publishing companies to make money on. And even those who are in comics and might go that, you know, route, like Anarchy with a K was in DC Comics, the people just eventually who are writing those stories flake out, or they don't really go in depth in terms of the language and an understanding of philosophy, ethics, economics. So to me, voluntarism is an opportunity to actually have that discourse in a meaningful way, in a way that uses the terminology accurately, in a way that, you know, talks about government in its most accurate characterization as an organization of violence. So, you know, I, to me, that's really my inspiration, was saying, look at everything that's out there, and no matter what, even the most edgiest of stories, you know, like think of Civil War with Marvel, still ultimately makes it seem like as if, government's the will of the people. And if you resist government, you know, like Captain America did, that you're just, and I'm talking about the comic specifically here, not the movie,
gotcha.
That you're just, you know, not really obeying the will of the people that have, you know, government. So that, you know, to me, that's, you could say, a kind of inspiration.
Gotcha. And I mean, just coming from an artistic perspective, because, you know, with libertarians, it's like our ideas are right. Our ideas are good. We have the right solutions to things because it's peaceful. It doesn't require force, and it looks out for the best of the individual. The problem that I have with a lot of libertarians is that when they go out there and they try and communicate these ideas, it's very rough and it's rigid and it's loud and it's very, you know, incomprehensible. But with you, especially with comic books, because I'm such a harsh critic of comics, I think you've succeeded where a lot of others have failed, because you bring up, V for Vendetta and Watchmen. And I had Matt Battaglia, he's the co-creator and artist from the Indoctrination comic series. I had him on, and he hates Alan Moore and his stories because they're just so wordy. It's like he's just trying to cake on everything out there, and it's less about the art, it's less about the story, and it's more about like this 30 word dialogue that he's cramming into a small bubble. And then when you look at, you know, other things, it's like, you know, with Anarchy from DC Comics, I mean, I tried to check out that series because I loved Nightfall from the Batman series. But for those of you that don't know, Anarchy was a kid, and when he got his own series, the writer at the time was trying to use him as a mechanism for this new philosophy called Neotech. And it was just boring. The story was sacrificed for the sake of this guy just making sure people could learn what he wanted them to learn about. But with you, I mean, a lot of libertarians, they're so pessimistic, they're so dark. And your story, while it talks about real life issues, while it talks about things that are controversial, I'm not going to say it's lighthearted, but it's fun. And you balance both the philosophy and the story you're trying to convey, because every writer is trying to push out his worldview, while at the same time being both incredibly entertaining. And that's where I think you struck gold with this. So, you know, shameless thank you right there. I think you're doing great with that.
Oh.
Absolutely great.
No, thank you. I appreciate it. I definitely am not trying to be preachy in terms of the writing style. I'm not trying, like, I think the most recent issue actually was Shielding Assange. And that's kind of, you know, this future verse where the voluntarists go and they save Snowden, and then they go to pick up Assange too, to rescue Assange. It's the language is not meant to be preachy about the nature of the virtues. It's really more just an expose of like the character's development and understanding and discourse about the virtues as they're experiencing their own lives. So it's supposed to be very character driven in terms of how those people in the story are coming to an understanding of, you know, the principles of liberty and coming to an understanding of it through their own direct experiences with government and through discussing their own actions as to what they're doing, you know, in resisting government and helping others. So, you know, that is definitely something I tried to do, is to make sure that, you know, this isn't some type of, as you had mentioned, like kind of like documentation of libertarian philosophy or something of that nature. Really, it's supposed to be a story, and the, you know, with character development, with history of backstory, with interaction, driving it. So, you know, that's definitely the direction I want to keep going in.
Definitely. So how's the reception for the comic been? Because I mean, I see people online interacting with your Facebook page. I mean, it seems like you're doing pretty well. Is it just a libertarian audience? I mean, how's the growth been? How have people been responding to your series?
I'd say overall pretty well. I think I had a lot of help late, like indirectly, of course, through, you know, the major publishers continuing to water down the meat of their comics, you know, as they just try to change the sexual orientation of characters and, you know, call that spicy. It's, you know, it's really not enough to get people's attention. I think that, you know, when you look at something like Rick and Morty, I don't know if you've ever seen that show.
Oh, man, I love that show.
Right. You know, that's an example of someone who really puts in a lot of depth, an incredible level of depth in a show. You know, that's really what people want more of. They don't want, you know, the bland comics that are just superficial and action and the same old stories. They want something that has a real diversity in the depth of the content. And so, you know, some of the driving force there is people who want to see something new and fresh like that, some, you know, topics they haven't seen before. And there's a lot of people, you know, who, of course, just love libertarian things or voluntarist things and want to support that. And of course, there's people who are just like, oh, this is too cringy or preachy, but just, you know, it's whatever. You're always going to have those people who think that. So it's, you know, it's always been growing. You know, I think we just reached over, you know, 5,000 fans on the page. I've run now over 6 successful campaigns, and we're on the 7th right now. So it's one of those things that I started knowing that the audience would be extremely small. You know, it's really getting water out of a rock. It's a niche of a niche, you know, being in libertarianism and voluntarism. And then you also like comics is, you know, really, you know, scratch at the edges of fandom. But I think that I've actually had a very easy growth cycle because just people are tired of government. You know, I mean, if you look at the congressional approval ratings and what's been happening and how everybody, you know, in America did not like any of the presidential candidates. I mean, people are just fed up at this point. With the nature of government, everybody is starting to see government as truly corrupt, as not really representing the people and not really helping anybody, you know, just a giant debt and war machine. So, you know, a lot of the times the government's doing me a favor by supporting my storyline and making it more real.
Definitely. It's sad when reality mimics fiction and vice versa.
Yeah, I mean, the comics, I do everything I can to introduce real concepts and real events in the comic storylines. Like in the Snowden issue, I specifically mentioned some of the government spying programs with Prism and Tempora. You know, and the goal there is that I want people to read the comic and to question how much of this is real and how much of this is fiction. You know, have someone read it and they are wondering, what, you know, wait a second, what if this is actually real and what if this is fiction? And they start to question things. You know, I feel like I've done my job, which is to get people to realize that as much as I'm writing a fictional story, there's so much truth in it that you kind of wonder, like you start to wonder if the superpowers are also true. because it's, you know, it's all there. You know, when I'm talking about the stuff with government and martial law and the protesters and the drone bombings are, you know, shown in there and the government spying, I mean, it's all real stuff. This is not, you know, fiction that I'm talking about, you know, and even just recently with people who were protesting in airports about the, you know, the whole 7 countries ban, You know, it's just more real world events of people being dissatisfied with government and, you know, starting to push back.
Definitely. So, Jamie, we don't want to give too much of the story away. If people want to go ahead and get a copy of the first issue, buy some more, check it out, how can they do so? How can they connect with you and get a copy?
The fastest way to do that is just go to volcomic.com. That's V as in victory, O-L-C-O-M-I-C.com. On there, on the right-hand side, there's different images that show the comics. You can click on those if you want to buy a hard copy. There's also a link to our most current campaign, which is ongoing now for a couple days, and it'll go another 2 months about. And we're raising funds to create the full origin story. So we're looking to create the full background story that shows how the main character gets his powers and his family relationships and so on and so forth. Because I started the concept with prototyping. So I started by doing prototypes of the future to give a sense of where the story would go. But now I really want to go ahead and actually get the origins made. So this is supposed to be the whole thing, the whole origin story.
Awesome, man. Well, anyway, thank you so much for coming on the program. It was an absolute blast, and I'm looking forward to everything else you have coming our way.
Oh, no, thank you so much for having me on. It was great to talk to you, and I can tell that you really know your comic stuff. So,
Thank you. I try. It's not like I don't give enough of my hard-earned money to Marvel and DC for them to bastardize all my characters, but that's a different rant for another day.
Right.
Anyway, folks, Volunteers Comic, you know, check it out at volcomic.com and tune in next week. Thank you so much for coming on again. I'm Remso W. Martinez. As always, be good to your neighbor, take care of yourself, and be awesome, America. Good night.
Stay up to date with the latest news and updates by visiting
RemsoRepublic.com.
Stay connected to Liberty's Rabble Rouser on Facebook and Twitter to stay up to date with the latest episodes, blogs, and other available content. What are you waiting for?